Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, sponsored by the Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. Mm-hmm. Marcellus Wiley here. Coming up, we'll tell you what to make of the controversy over Mike Gundy's t-shirt, and if we like Charles Barkley going after Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard. But right now, I'm joined by LeVar Arrington and Mark Schlereff. What's up, guys? Today, we're going to start off in the NFL, where the league has done a 180 in recent weeks on their approach to social justice and protesting, with Roger Goodell apologizing for how they handled the issue in the past and promising to support players moving forward. And now he's even going a step further, swinging open the door for a possible comeback for Colin Kaepernick, saying, quote, "Well, listen, if he wants to resume his career in the NFL, then obviously it's going to take a team to make that decision. But I welcome that, support a club making that decision, and encourage them to do that." Mark, do you think Cap still wants to play?
Yeah, I think he still has a desire to play, to see exactly what he can be. I think there's so much movement right now in not only the National Football League, but in our culture in general. And I think that's a great thing. And obviously, Colin Kaepernick was a guy who started this movement. So I still think that he would like to play. I think he would like that opportunity. Mm-hmm. It just comes down to this for me. Are you willing to work your way back in? Are you willing to take a backup job or to have that, you know, compete for a backup job, that type of thing? And I think the other thing for organizations in general, and this is real for a lot of organizations, do you want your quarterback or your backup quarterback to be a guy that's having press conferences? And there's a lot of organizations that don't want that, quote unquote, let's just call it distraction. And so that's what makes it hard. So it's up to Colin Kaepernick. Like, if he wants to play, he's going to have to be willing, you know, to start as a backup and work his way back in there. And I don't know if he was willing to do that in the past or not. I have no idea. But I do have a sense that he wants to play, that he wants to resume his career, and he's still plenty young enough to get that done.
I say no. I think it's a no for a few reasons. First, let me start by saying, when looking at Kaepernick's situation, I believe he has a passion for the game of football. I believe he would want to, in theory, play football. But I think he now realizes and understands the magnitude of how big his brand is and how big of a figure he is. If we're looking at Colin Kaepernick today, I would not be scared to say he is actually the face that's connected to the civil rights movement of 2020. And so while he may have the passion to want to play, I think he understands how big he's become as a figure. And actually look at it from the perspective of, if he were to come back and want to play, the players who are advocating for him, who want him to come back and be on a team, nobody is talking about his skill level. Nobody's talking about what he's going to bring to the table as someone who can really, really generate wins for a team. This has now become a sentimental, an example of winning versus losing. I think that the fans are ultimately really the ones that have to take a look at themselves in this scenario, because I think the fans make it impossible for Colin Kaepernick to want to continue to play football because of what he represents. He will not be a football player playing football. He will be a figure of winning and something that has represented the cause in a positive way, rather than being a football player at this point. And I don't see him wanting to take on that type of responsibility in the National Football League.
I'm with LeVar. I say no. You got to remember that football, sports, is a means to an end. We all know that the shelf life of being any professional athlete is short in comparison to your shelf life of being a normal citizen, a layman, as they say. So Colin Kaepernick is running this calculation as well. I say no because incentives shape behavior. And as much as Colin Kaepernick is passionate about playing the game of quarterback, I'm certain of that. Being a quarterback in the NFL, I'm certain of that. I am not certain that he wants to come and risk what he is away from the game, which is greater than he could ever be playing the game. We've seen the best quarterbacks ever, whether it's a Tom Brady or a Joe Montana. You run down your list, your Mount Rushmore quarterbacks. Colin Kaepernick has put himself in a different space than even those great quarterbacks, the GOATs. This is a guy who's now been on the cover of Time magazine. This is a guy who could decline Oprah Winfrey's call. This is a guy who could take Obama's message and see if his calendar is open to attend an event. It's a whole different world for Colin Kaepernick, as predicted by Dr. Harry Edwards, his own advisor at the time, who now it seems like they're on the outs in terms of their relationship. But Dr. Harry Edwards sent an email to Roger Goodell, talked to Roger Goodell about making Colin Kaepernick a martyr. He said, don't do it. He said, make sure that Colin Kaepernick is always on the roster, because with his cause, with the momentum and energy that he possesses right now, you can't let him die on the sword of unemployment and being blackballed by the NFL. And that's exactly what has occurred. So now Colin Kaepernick runs that calculation and realizes that, hey, as great as I could be in it, I'm greater outside of it, being who he is, which is a person that is inspiring others for hope and a symbol of what everyone seems to be fighting for in this very moment. So running that calculation, I don't think he wants to play again.
Well, I just keep seeing him from the workouts, the post, the workout that he had, the private workout that he had, that he does have that desire. And I would ask you guys this. There was a time in my belief system that he was more important to cause as a martyr than he was as a player. But has that shifted? Has, because of the public and because of the protests, because everybody being on board now, and so many of the teammates and so many of the people, even the NFL, that maybe didn't really understand. So my thing is always this: do you listen to hear or do you listen to respond? And I think most people in the NFL, myself included at times, listen to respond. And I think what has happened is the NFL and many of the teammates of guys like Colin Kaepernick and guys like Eric Reid have listened and actually heard. And so they're taking up the torch along with their brothers and saying, hey, man, we want to be in this thing together. We want to be the catalysts of change. So I would ask you guys, is he still more important to the cause as a martyr, or can he come back now because it has snowballed and now we've got a lot of people, black, white, you name it, all supporting the cause and trying to see effective change in this country toward equality?
Yeah, I think in theory, he can come back and play based off of the logic you just presented, Stink. But the realities that surround Colin Kaepernick right now, there are so many different things that he has to take into consideration. Think about this. We haven't even heard from Kaepernick. There have been no quotes. I mean, he was very, very concise and very direct when he said after his workout, I've been ready. I've been working to be ready. You know, give me my chance. Stop running from me. He said it. We have not heard anything ever since this tidal wave of feeling remorse and feeling like we did Kaepernick the wrong way and we're going to try to make this right some way, somehow. We have not heard anything from him. So I'm taking the silence as, to me, the silence is, whoa, like this really could happen now. Like I could really end up getting an opportunity to play on a team. He has to take into consideration what that truly means. What does that mean for him personally if he tries to come back and play? Again, he came onto a 13-win football team and started. He didn't come on a rebuild. He didn't come from and play on a 2-win team. He didn't go to Cincinnati or Cleveland to try to create something. The 49ers were winning. So if we're talking purely football, Kaepernick was in the best scenario for a quarterback in his early days as a quarterback playing because of the team. That defense was one of the best defenses, period. You had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and Alden Smith on that defense, Ahmad Brooks. You had some serious goons. Whitner, you Golston, you had some serious dudes on that team. I think we're failing to understand that if Kaepernick were to come back, We're looking at Kaepernick with the finest lens. We're combing Kaepernick with the finest tooths on a comb. And I think that if you see Kaepernick for what he really is as a player, then you're going to, he's going to have to live with that. And I think people are going to be a tad bit disappointed in what they see based off of what the skill level is and what his capabilities are. And I think that people are failing to have that conversation because the cause has become bigger than what his talent level and what he has to offer as a player represents. And I think Colin knows that, and he has to live with that, Marcellus.
Man, pass that truth serum, bro. You are preaching right now in terms of separating the cause from the actual player itself. And I want to just talk about the arc, one hell of an arc from our own commissioner, Roger Goodell, in terms of, one, knowing that Colin Kaepernick sued the NFL, and then that turns into a quote that they're out of the cap business. And then that turns into apologizing to the cause, but not saying Cap's name explicitly in that same apology. Where that turns into now he wants Cap to get an opportunity, and he hopes a team does that because it's not on him. That's one hell of an arc right there, brother. So you got to remember, can this even occur? And if it can occur, does Kaepernick want it to occur? Not only because of who he is in terms of being a martyr, but also who he is in terms of being a player. What, 4 years removed? You're talking about knocking the rust off. Good luck with that situation. And if I'm in Kaepernick's corner, if I'm in that room with him, I'm sitting there and I'm giving him straight, pure dope in terms of intelligence. I'm saying, Kaepernick, you're not unemployed. I know a lot of people say you are. We're getting that Nike check every month, brother. So you're going to be fine in terms of financial compensation going forward. Now let's talk about everything else that comes with this. You are in the legacy game. You're no longer in just the performance game on a field, on grass, on turf. Like, this world will forget about me. Like, my kids will keep my name alive and legacy, but in all things considered, I'm probably going to be forgotten in encyclopedias. Not Colin Kaepernick. And if someone is properly advising him, they have to protect what he's already earned in terms of that legacy and reputation. So, Colin Kaepernick, knowing what Harry Edwards told him and told Commissioner Goodell, don't let him die on the sword of unemployment for this cause. Colin Kaepernick has detonated a couple situations intentionally. Whatever you want to call it, with Nessa's tweet to Baltimore, whatever you want to call Pete Carroll talking out of both sides of his mouth about Cap being a backup but being a starter, but he has Russell Wilson. Why are you bringing him in if you already got Russell Wilson? So Kaepernick understands this game we're talking about right now. And it's just going to be an interesting play. If I had to bet the house on it, I don't think we ever see Colin Kaepernick back in uniform. Coming up, an Oklahoma State star went after Coach Mike Gundy's politics yesterday. We'll tell you what to make of the controversy next. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, sponsored by Fisher Investments, Better Money Management. Marcellus Wiley here, joined again by LeVar Arrington and Mark Schler. Let's talk some college football, where some controversy erupted yesterday with Oklahoma State star running back Chuba Hubbard calling out Coach Mike Gundy for wearing a T-shirt from hyper-conservative news network OAN. Hubbard tweeted, quote, "I will not stand for this. This is completely insensitive to everything going on in society, and it's unacceptable. I will not be doing anything with Oklahoma State until things change." The two later appeared to work things out and even made an awkward video to prove it.
I'm looking forward to making some changes, and it starts at the top with me, and we got good days ahead.
I'll start off by first saying that I went about it the wrong way by tweeting. I'm not someone that, you know, has to, you know, tweet something to break chains. I should have went to him as a man, and I'm more about action. So that was bad on my part.
Even after this, Hubbard had more to say, tweeting, "I was never wrong for saying what I said. I am a man, and I realized I should have went to him as a man face to face rather than on Twitter. That's my opinion, but I had to hold him accountable either way. I am glad things happened the way they did because things are being changed as we speak. I'm a young black man that wants change. I want change that will bring a better experience for my Black brothers and sisters at Oklahoma State. Mark, you like how this was handled?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I don't know what went on behind closed doors, obviously, but I look at an opportunity here. Now, as far as Mike Gundy is concerned, and I'll be honest with you guys, I had no idea what OAN was. I've never heard of it. So
preach.
I had no
Same
idea.
Here.
Yeah, but I will say this. The fact that that shirt says lack of sensitivity and the fact that that shirt is, you know, is demeaning to the cause, and the fact that shirt is bothersome to his players, he shouldn't wear it. You should know better than that. But here's what I like about Mike Gundy. At least you sat down with your players and you said, it starts with me. That means I've taken responsibility. It starts with me. I have to be better, and we are implementing change. And for that, I respect them as guys sitting down. See, because here's the whole thing, is that I think in sports in general, we're insulated to a degree. Black, white, doesn't matter. We're insulated to a degree because we live in our little bubble, and we are tight, and we are friends. And think about this. Hubbard is a guy that's a really good player that could have gone and been drafted fairly high, right? He chose to come back to Oklahoma State. So Mike Gundy must be doing something right for him to choose to come back into that environment. The fact that they can sit down and have dialogue, listen to one another, and then say, you know, Mike Gundy say, hey, man, I'm making changes. It starts with me at the top. I think that's great. And isn't that the way we really should handle all our issues and all our business? So I really don't have a problem how this went down. You know, I've heard a lot of people calling for Mike Gundy's job. At least he recognizes it and moves forward with his players and makes, you know, apparently significant changes that are okay with the players.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I say I don't like it because where I sit now, it begins to become this disingenuous approach to what is going on with the climate of our culture. I think that this is one of those deals where the kid should have went to the coach. And he says it. The kid should have went to the coach. Mm. This should not have been a video that was being shared out. And I'm going to tell you why. There's a bigger deal here in terms of when you look at where Chuba is in his career. He's not going to win the Heisman. Let's be clear on that. You know, you got Fields and you got Lawrence. It's a two-horse race. So we can throw the adding Heisman candidate. That's nice. I was a Heisman candidate. I knew I wasn't going to win it. There's a dude named Mike Vick and Ron Dane that was playing anyways. I digress. But I was on the list. So he's on the list. I mean, that's fine. But here's what can happen. While doing what he's doing and feeding off of the current energy of what's going on, instead of being impactful, organizing, well thought out, getting the support, and not just the support from your teammates, getting the support from what you mentioned as a place where you want your brothers and sisters to have an amazing experience at Oklahoma State. Employ your community, which is Oklahoma State. That's your color. Orange and black is your color as it applies to the issues you're dealing with right now at your school. So to me, I thought it was a tremendous miss. Because now, in doing something that you feel is right and is falling in line with what the consistent messaging is going on right now with Black Lives Matter, I understand that you are standing for good and standing for cause and purpose, and I appreciate that and I like that. But take it a step further while doing that and say to yourself, wow, I am an Oklahoma State Cowboy. What does that mean to me and what it is that I am representing right now? Do I want to employ the Asian students, the Indian students, the European students, the African students, every single race of people that attend your institution? So to me, this was bigger. This was bigger than just saying, okay, you wore a shirt that offended me. If you felt like there was some tremendous racial insensitivities and issues that civilly needed to be addressed, I think that this would have been a better cause or a better approach by hitting it head on and not just jumping on social media and putting it out on social media. We know who Mike Gundy is. We've heard his rants before. We've heard him say things that, you know, about COVID and the players coming back. We know exactly who the coach is, right? So now this kid actually puts himself in a compromising position, and I really don't know that it was worth him compromising himself the way that he did. He could have been much more impactful in the way that he approached it.
Do I like how they handled this controversy? Let's just, for starters, on a lighter note, next time you do one of those awkward videos, the tandem duo hostage kind of videos where it's already scripted so it doesn't come out genuine, let's not highlight boy culture in the background. Like, to just look at that video and I see boy culture, I'm like, golly, if that's not the greatest Freudian slip I've ever seen. Anyway, let's get to the real issues at play. And I think there are three issues at play. One is player empowerment. One is freedom of expression. And one is just simply likability. Let's start with the first one, player empowerment. Something about this is so encouraging and so unnerving at the same time, that a player, a star player, felt that his voice was so moot in the moment, muted in this situation, that he had to go get the avalanche of Twitter and that criticism to pile on coach so that he could be heard. Like, there's no other way that he felt in that moment, being a star, that his volume would be received unless he made it for public consumption. That's interesting there, because we've all been in that situation before. I've been undressed before by a graduate assistant. And you know in football, because it's militaristic, that whoever has the most stripes in terms of coaching staff, they're right, even when they're wrong. A graduate assistant, I'm like, dude, you just were on a team last year and you didn't even get any burn, and you now over here undressing me just because you're a coach. That's a hard place to be when you're any athlete, let alone a star athlete, your voice not being heard. Let's talk about the second one, freedom of expression. Ah, tricky right here, man. We are now in this delicate place where you can't coexist unless you have like sensibilities. And I don't like that. Like, the same latitude and freedom I want is the same I have to give if I'm going to receive it. So I know I've represented a lot of bad things before as a player. Old Ice Cube albums, Death Certificate, America's Most Wanted, and he didn't spell America exactly the right way. NWA, like, et cetera, et cetera. I could have been in a position where I'm infringing on someone else's sensibilities and rights just because I'm repping what I like. And I mean no harm in that representation. So that's interesting there. But the last thing is really likability. It's crazy how Dabo Sweeney can wear a Football Matters t-shirt and then Trevor Lawrence and other players come to his defense and it's swept under the rug. But then you get to Coach Gundy, they didn't sweep this under the rug. They went at him and he had no one defending him on his own team, which lets you know they were mumbling about him before. They just don't like him, and they use this as an opportunistic moment, not mad at it, to make sure that he got the message that no more of the same Coach Mike Gundy that stepped in this place before is going to be accepted going forward.
Yeah, well, I'll go back to the one thing that I do like. When we have differences of opinion and we have issues, excuse me, between us that we need to address, the fact that we can go in together and have a conversation and that we can make adjustments. Now, we'll see what those adjustments are going forward, but the bottom line to me is at least we started the conversation, right? And listen, you know, as new information is presented to you, I had a lot of opinions in the past as a younger person, you know, football opinions and things of that nature, that when I get new information, I'm entitled as an intelligent human being to change my opinion. But I can never change my opinion if I'm unwilling to listen to somebody else's opinion. And the point being is, at least they came together as a team, coaches and players, and they had dialogue. They had a talk. And they came out of that saying, hey, man, I need to change. And, you know, we need to move forward with this thing. So to me, that's where it starts. And, you know, and that's a great, like, to me, that represents where we are in this country right now. We need to listen to one another, and we need to start to make some effective change toward equality. And I can't be angry about that.
What I see as problematic here is that in that effort that you're speaking of, Stink, uh-huh. It now embarrasses the coaching staff. It now embarrasses the school. It embarrasses that school's community. And now they are forced to answer questions that they're not necessarily tied into. I know this for certain because I went through the Penn State scandal. I lived through all of the hate and making us all guilty of breaking the laws and turning blind eyes as if we were the ones that were doing this. And we weren't. And so when you have a situation where you bring the spotlight onto yourself, onto a certain individual, and onto the entire community, then how you handle that once that takes place is going to go a long, long way. These conversations will be had. People will move on from what took place with this Twitter situation and what he put out there and what he felt, the apology that was issued. They will move on from that, but they won't forget it. They won't forget it. And so in looking at what takes place, the kid may have an amazing career and there's nothing to be said about it. He goes to the National Football League. Everything works out great. But what if he's one of those guys that actually falls into that statistical category at the running backs position where they have, what, 9 or 10 running backs on a team? If you're thinking that they don't feel a certain type of way about what was said, how it was done, and the actual contesting of authority, a coach does not view anyone as his equal as it applies to coaching staff or players, all right? Or even medical staff or anybody else that falls under the reign and rank of the head coach. So now that has been challenged publicly. And I don't see that being something that they will just let go. Let him have a 20-yard game with 15 carries, right? You don't think that they're going to grab another running back the next week and give him more carries and give the kid less carries? 10, 20 years from now, if he made this stand right now, and nobody remembers who he is 10, 15 years from now, but they look at him in his background when they go to hire him for a job and do not hire him because of this very moment in time, to me, that's a concern that really, I do not like the kid putting himself in that type of compromising position. I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's be real. We all know he got gassed up because of what's happening right now. Like, 2 months ago, the kid has to handle this completely differently. And that's probably a net positive, but at the same time, there's still lessons to be learned in terms of how you deal with it based on how you feel, not based on external circumstances controlling you. So it's a little herd mentality. And, you know, you got to remind people that most people in the pyramid of success are at the bottom. So be careful if you always run with the pack and just go with the flavor, because it has to be something that's sustainable, even though I know that this is a net positive. But I think it's really dangerous to judge from a distance. And I see some of this happening in this story right here, the judgment from a distance, of OAN. Like, I never even heard of it till I had to do my research for this topic. And it's like, okay, I don't know if he heard of it, but the point of it is it landed on his radar and he wanted to go public with it instead of a private communication. That was his choice. That's the matter of fact. But when you want to close the distance in judgment, you have to communicate, young man. You have to talk to people because it works both ways. You look at him and you have a lazy assumption of what he must be. Let's go all the way to the extreme. He must be a racist because he's with the far right and he's a Trump supporter and all that craziness. Instead of knowing that there are people looking just like you and me who are also supporters of the far right and also in OAN and viewership. But the worst part is when you feel it flip back on you, because for Gundy's t-shirt to make you have that assumption, I walk around with a hoodie and they have what assumption? And it can come back on you. It can be reflexive. And we have seen people, unfortunately, die because of lazy assumptions from a distance and not wanting to close that gap in communication. Be careful what you are seeing and, more importantly, what you're telling yourself based on what you're seeing. Coming up, Charles Barkley just went after the NBA stars who don't want to relaunch this season. We'll tell you if Chuck went too far. Next! Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Marcel Swally here, joined now by a couple of Fox NBA analysts, Slick Rick Dubuker, and the end of the Cold War, Chris Broussard, is on Speak for Yourself. Oh, Lord. This is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. All right, let's talk some association right now. Where Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard made some noise this week, declaring that now is not the time to relaunch the NBA season because it would interfere with pushing for social justice. Well, Charles Barkley just went off on the two-star, saying it would be stupid not to play and will be a catastrophic mistake, arguing that the visibility and money from the NBA season would actually help push for change. Chris, do you like Barkley calling these guys out?
Well, I agree with Charles in that they should play this season. Where I disagree with him at is in the way he just dismissed their comments like they were idiotic. I actually like the sentiment that Kyrie and Dwight Howard are showing, which is finally a recognition of the power that Black athletes have in this country to affect change. Guys, I think that because of their popularity, their wealth, their connection to corporate America through endorsements and marketing, their unique skill set in which nobody else on the planet can do what they do, and the fact that they are beloved by people of all races, I think that puts Black athletes in a position to impact the change in this country, I think to a greater degree than any other group of African Americans, including politicians. So I like that Kyrie and Dwight are kind of recognizing that, in my opinion. Now is not the time, though, for a few reasons. One, they need a plan. And I'm actually told that they are putting together a list of demands or asks of the NBA. But what I would say is that the players need to play this season because and secure the money that they'll get for this season and keep the salary cap from completely bottoming out over the next few seasons so they can continue to make their money. But as they're doing that, organize, get a list of asks that you will go to Commissioner Adam Silver with, who's a player's commissioner, and make certain asks of the owners and the commissioner of what you want the NBA to do to combat systemic racism. I think it could be having the owners at every every owner in the NBA having at all of their other companies a management trainee program for Black college graduates so we can start to get the management and executive numbers of African Americans in the workforce up to where the numbers are of African Americans in the population. Also, you can get the NBA or owners to make large donations to historically Black colleges and universities so you can build up their basketball programs. And then maybe some of the top blue chip players in the country will go there and they won't be sacrificing, you know, equipment, technology, and things like that if they go to an HBCU. That could help those programs and in turn help the universities get money for the academic programs. So I think you put together a list of asks, bring them to the NBA, see if they'll support you. I think they would in a lot of them. And then if they don't in the future, you can hold it over their head of maybe we won't play. Look at what happened at the University of Missouri. When those football players decided a few years ago, we're not playing until the president is fired. The regular Blacks in the student body have been trying to get him fired for weeks, if not months. He was gone within 3 days because they needed the Black athletes. I believe that if NFL players, Black athletes, and maybe others, decided we're not playing until Kaepernick's on the roster, I think he'd be on the roster. So that's the power they have, and I like that Kyrie and Dwight are recognizing it, even if I don't like the timing right now.
I enjoyed Chuck calling them out, largely because anytime the old man on the porch is calling out anybody or yelling at somebody, as long as it's not me, I find that entertaining. So I appreciated that. Number two, he basically reiterated everything that Marcellus, Jim Jackson, and I said yesterday on this issue about the greatest platform they have is if they are playing. And Charles saying, I have no idea what they're talking about, that's the tough part for me. Like, be clear. Chris, you just outlined, this is the plan of action. Don't play and make these demands until we get back. We'll get back to playing if you fill these demands. I'm all for that. Give me a plan. If you just say, we're not going to play because it's going to be a distraction. Marcellus made the point yesterday. Are you saying it's a distraction for the players that they can't play and support Black Lives Matter at the same time? I'd say that while they're playing and they have that platform, they have a greater opportunity to do that. Are you saying that fans and the country will be distracted from the focus on Black Lives Matter if we have games? I don't know about you guys. I am a professional procrastinator. If I don't want to get to my to-do list, if I don't want to do my chores, and I want to sit down on the couch and watch TV, and what I want to watch isn't on, do I turn it off and go, I guess I got to do my chores? No. I go find either another channel or something else if it's not something I want to pay attention to. They have a much greater opportunity of convincing people of the importance of not just paying attention to this, but doing something about it if they're actually on the TVs, they're in front of us, and they're active, as opposed to we're all just taking a time out and we're hoping that people, as a result of not having basketball, are going to do the right thing. Being a student of human nature, I just can't believe that that's the way to go about it.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm with Chuck, except the whole stupid part. Like, look, if they're stupid today, then you're dumb tomorrow, and then we don't really get anywhere. Now, talking about their plan, saying it's pointless or aimless, I get that. I can hear that because I don't know where the rubber meets the road in terms of their plan. I know where they are emotionally right now, but I don't know where you are in terms of plan. And last time I checked, when Colin Kaepernick came out with all of his emotions and what he was feeling, the chapter two is where we really were left wanting more. And you got to have that chapter two. You got to finish writing whatever that plan is. So give yourself some time, youngsters, in terms of doing that. That said, man, like, an attempt at an alliance before your adversarial can be advantageous. Like, you can extract a lot from the resources around you, including your platform, which is going to give you money and it's going to give you the influence. You guys don't play, if the NBA doesn't come back, $1.2 billion gone from people that look a lot like me. Woo, that's really affecting the economy and affecting the opportunity for change. And it's kind of bad in this world, this climate right now, that guys have million-dollar jobs. And there are so many essential workers that have to go to work for minimum wages or don't have a job at all to go to. But a Kyrie Irving, who's not even going to play this year, is saying, hey, guys, let me tank this pool so you guys don't feel like going out there and playing either because where I am emotionally right now. Got to have a little more ammunition than just your emotions. So you can only win the games in life you play in. You can't win it from the outside point at the game. You got to get in there, you got to get dirty, and you got to come up with a plan of action. Look forward to hearing that from these young guys. Coming up, the Cowboys and Dak are still working on a deal, but is the damage to their relationship already done? Find out next. Speak for Yourself is presented by Hyundai. I'm Marcellus Wiley. Time to welcome a Pro Bowler, former Pro Bowler and Dallas quarterback, Steve Beuerlein. Let's go to your old stomping ground, Steve, in Dallas, where the Cowboys and Dak Prescott still trying to work out a new deal, but if they can't come to terms by July 15th, Dak will have to play under the franchise tag. Well, now our guy Troy Aikman is warning the Cowboys that forcing Dak to play under the tag could harm the team's relationship with their quarterback long term. Steve, you agree with your old teammate's warning here?
Well, I agree. I mean, anytime a player is put under a franchise tag, it's not what the player wants. It's not going to be what they would consider to be the desirable situation. He's going to have to struggle through the next year making only top five QB money. So I don't know how he's going to survive it. But listen, let's talk about this from a serious perspective, Bill Marcellus. And when you talk about why is Dak in this situation, we all know that the Cowboys have made two what I consider to be fair market offers, at least to Dak Prescott, going back to before last year. And he's rejected both of those offers. And those are both offers that would pay him well over $30 million, or right around $30 to $35 million a year. We know those offers were out there. He rejected those offers. Those numbers, in my opinion, were very good numbers for him. He's asking now to be paid as the best quarterback, the top highest paid quarterback in NFL, or at least right up there with the top two. I don't know if anybody's up there at that $40 million yet or not. But the bottom line is, I don't believe he's earned that privilege to be paid at that same that number. And what he did by rejecting the Cowboys' two offers, at least that we know of, he pretty much franchised himself, because Jerry Jones made what he thought was a fair offer, what I think I believe was a fair offer. He rejected those deals. So in that case, he basically says, franchise me. And that's what's going to end up happening this year. I don't think the Cowboys are going to get to that $40 million. And quite honestly, even though I like Dak Prescott and I believe he is deserves to be paid with the top quarterbacks in the league, I don't believe he deserves to get that number that he's looking for. And I think he's drawn that line in the sand. He's pretty much franchising himself. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, a lot of me is with you. I mean, they offer you $33 million for 5 years. You're like, what's the issue here? But that's a present value conversation. He's having a future forecast value conversation when they rip up the new CBA and at the end of 4 years, and the quarterback dollars will jump exponentially, and he wants to be able to jump with it. So I understand why they're in this position, even though, being real, if it were me, I would have been signed that deal for $33 million for 5 years. But I get why his agent – yeah, exactly. But I get why his agent is doing this. It is actually smart business. That said, in sports and life, there's two scoreboards. It's the one you see with your eyes. What's the score? 27-14. But then there's another one that we feel, the momentum, the energy. And that's the one that I think is going to affect Dak going forward. He's always going to hold this in his head, like, this is how you treat me? I didn't only do things the Dak way. I did them the Cowboys way. And then you're rewarding other malcontents on this team. I ain't going to say any names, like Zeke. But you're not rewarding me for doing everything the right way and having a career year when you asked me to do it in my contract year. So if I'm Dak Prescott, sooner or later this deal gets done. But I am going to hold a grudge that I hopefully can keep from everyone from seeing, but it will be there in existence. Coming up, we'll give you our latest approval ratings for Charles Barkley, and Uncle Jimmy will tell us what he thinks of Uncle Chuck. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, joined now by Uncle Jimmy. And Uncle Charles Barkley called out them youngsters, Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard, for saying the NBA shouldn't relaunch this season. You like Chuck calling the guys out?
Hey, man, this is the very reason Uncle Jimmy tell you. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and it ain't no in the middle. See, Chuck is old school. Chuck came up in a time where you realized that desperate times called for desperate measures. See, right now the world needs somebody like Sir Charles. See, Sir Charles is what they call a diplomat. He's an aristocrat, see? And he's also one that speaks truthisms. See, if you ask him a question, he'll tell you, Dwight Howard and his hairdo look ridiculous. Kyrie Irving, he crazy as a lounge lizard. You understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Bye, y'all. See you tomorrow. Stay safe.